I think it's good for us just to tell God that we appreciate all that He's done for us, and we love Him, and we're thankful for His many blessings in our life. Thank you so much for the special music today. Take your Bible, please, and turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 3. Last week, we were in Genesis 3, and we looked into the Scripture, and we saw some of the things that Satan will try to do to give us an improper view of God and get us to think negatively and skeptically and lightly and suspiciously about the Lord. And today I want to kind of follow up on that and just talk with you a little bit about God's approach to man's failure. You know, a proper worldview is found in the first three chapters of Genesis. It answers a lot of questions about where we came from and how the world got here and why people do the things they do. And if we'll just read carefully Genesis 3, we'll find God answers those questions. And He kind of sets the foundation of things that will progressively become more clear through the Scriptures. There's a principle in the Bible that is very important about the seedbed, and by that I mean the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is the word Genesis means origin, and the book of Genesis is the seedbed of many, if not all, the following truths that we find in the Scripture. The principle of first mention, or the first mention principle, is a foundation. In other words, God will lay a foundational truth in the Scripture. We're going to look at one, maybe a couple this morning. And then you will see that truth become progressively expanded upon through the Scripture with consistency. God doesn't change His truth. And so that is the principle of first mention. And so we're going to look at that just a little bit. Now, in doing that, I want us to see how God responded to Adam and Eve's sin. Because we find in that principle how God will respond to you, to me, to us in our sin. Men, by and large, and when I say men, I mean mankind, by and large, are afraid of God. Now, they try to act all high and mighty that they're not afraid, but you let something devastating happen, and it reveals the fear that's in man's heart. Now, as a pastor, I have stood beside the bed of many, many people that were getting ready to cross over into eternity. And I'm here to tell you, when you stare death's door in the face, it changes some things. And if you're not prepared and have the peace in your heart for what lies on the other side of that door, it becomes evident real quick in the eyes of others and in the actions of that individual. And so we find here where God created Adam, and God saw that it was not good that man should be alone. And God put Adam to sleep. I heard one man say that Adam, when he fell and God asked him what he had done, he said, "I don't know. I went to sleep single and I woke up married and now I'm in this mess." So, you know, I don't know that's exactly what happened, but Adam wasn't defending his wife, I can tell you that. He threw her under the bus, didn't he? And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And so we see where Satan went and he deceived. And he is a deceiver. I wrote this down because I read this from someone. I was going back through some of my notes that I had journaled and just that I'd taken down over the years, and I try to keep them. And I'm an old-fashioned guy. I just write them down. I don't put them on any kind of drive or hard drive, whatever you call those things. I don't know what you call them. What's the little things you plug in? Somebody help me out. Flash drive. Yeah, there you go. So I don't do that. I just keep notes, and I try to keep them in some form of order. But anyway, I wrote this down. Satan, and I wished I knew who said this, but I didn't have the author. Satan appears where we would least expect him. You know, I think one of the things, as far as Eve, I just don't think that she was expecting to find evil in the garden. I just don't think she was. Perfect environment. I mean, everything that eye and heart and mind could wish for. And I just don't think she was expecting him there. You know, Satan will also show up in our lives where we least expect him. So be careful. The second thing this gentleman said was, not only does he appear where we would least expect him, but he appears in forms or in ways that we're not expecting him. I don't know that she was expecting evil and the devil to show up in the form of a serpent. And I don't want you to get the idea that this was a slimy, slithering snake, because it wasn't. That's what he became after the curse. And so sometimes things look different than they are. And so we have to be really cautious, don't we? There's a lure in his deception. And then Satan is the master deceiver. He can have folks believing that things are one way when they are totally the different, the exact opposite of what they are thinking. And that's part of his deception. And we find that here. We find where Satan comes to Eve, and I want you to look with me, and we'll read chapter number 3. I'm going to ask you to stand. Genesis chapter 3. Now, for the sake of time, I am going to begin reading in verse number 7, and we're going to read down through verse number 13. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7, and verse number 7 through 13. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That's a very important note. They provided for themselves. To this point, God has provided everything. But when they sinned, they thought, well, you know what? I'm going to provide for myself. Isn't that the way sin does? I mean, it really is. It's something. And we'll get into that a little deeper here in just a moment. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know, I'm not going to comment on every verse, but this is the first words of a man after sin. Isn't that something? I found out some things about me I didn't like, that I didn't know. And so I ran away and I hid because I was afraid. Can I tell you, sin still does men that way. Sin still does us that way. It does. When God comes and there's the presence of the Lord, sin still makes man say this in his heart. It's a terrible thing, sin. It really is. Terrible. Verse 11 says, God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord. God, you know my heart, and you know the hearts of the people, and you know what we stand in need of most this morning. We confess that we are a needy people. And God, we acknowledge that you have what it takes to meet the needs of every individual in this building today. Now, whether you choose to meet the needs and when you choose to meet them, God, that's you. That's in your plan. But I'm asking, Lord, that you would do something in every heart that is here today. I pray that no one would leave untouched or unchanged. Bring change in my life and in the lives of the people that are here today. You know the change that would set off a chain reaction of the change that we need, that needs could be met. And so I pray that we would listen intently to what the Spirit saith to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. You know, there's something I want to bring to your attention by way of remembrance. You know this. But I just want to remind you of something. When Satan came and he engaged Eve, there's a formula that Satan set out here, and it kind of goes back to that first mention. He wants to bring doubt. Now, he doesn't want to end there, but that's where he'll begin. It's where he can captivate the attention. And so the scripture says in verse number one, the last part of verse one, he said unto the woman, Eve, yea, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, if you'll go through Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you'll find that every verse there ends with a period. This is the first question in all the Word of God right here. First question mark. And it's Satan questioning what God has said. And he'll question what God has said to you too. He will. You say, oh, I've been saved for 50 years. He'll still question what God has said to you. He'll still have you to question the authority of God's Word. But that's not where he wants to end. I want you to follow. After he got Eve to question, he went straight to denial. He said in verse number 3, after she said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So he moves from doubt to denial just like that. Yea, hath God said? And if he can get you to doubt what God said, he can tell you about anything. As long as he mixes just enough truth, remember, about 5 minutes off. Not 5 hours off, about 5 minutes off. And he had her. He had her. She went from doubt to denial, and then she went to decision. She said in verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she made the decision to take, didn't she? Now, Pastor David mentioned last Sunday night in his message about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and here it is. This is the first mention right here. You see it right here. You see the lust of the eyes. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. She saw that it was food, good to eat, I should say, and that's the lust of the eyes, and then she saw it was pleasant to the eyes, and of course, that's the lust of the flesh, and then she saw that it was food, that was going to make one wise. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And of course, that's the lust of the flesh. And then she shared. She gave it to her husband. You know, sin's always that way. Sin never wants to be a partaker in itself. Sin's always looking for a companion. Have you noticed that? It's always that way. You know, and so she did that and she shared. And then the Bible, that's where we picked up our reading. She ate and then she got her husband to eat. Now, there's a role of reversal here, and I'm not going to get into it. But God never intended the woman to lead. God had a very special place for women. God had a very honorable place for the woman, but it was not that place. And we'll find that when the roles were reversed and Adam was following the leadership of Eve, well, Adam lost something. Now, Eve lost something too. She lost her defender. Because if you'll notice, and we'll get into this more when we begin to talk about the family, if you'll notice when God went to Adam after he had sinned, he said in verse number 11, he said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, it's her fault. That doesn't sound like a defender. That doesn't sound like a protector to me. A man's going to protect his wife. Now, Adam knew what his responsibility was, and he knew that he had failed at his responsibility. And because he had failed at his responsibility to be the leader, because he failed to defend in the way that he should defend. And quite frankly, Adam just threw Eve under the bus. Now, God gave Adam an opportunity to do something that every person in this building needs to do. And that is to confess. And when we would rather excuse than confess, you know you're in trouble. You do not have to read any further to know this couple's in trouble. They're in trouble. God came to them, and I want you to watch with me what God does. This is how loving God is. You remember what God had said? God said, now here's the plan. Of every tree of the garden, this is in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, thou mayest freely eat thereof. But there's one prohibition. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day, are you listening? In the day. You say, well, that just could mean any day. Well, I think up until this time, the day was a 24-hour period in creation. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, they've eaten. And the scripture says that when they ate in verse number 7, the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves aprons. They said, we've got to do something about this. We've got to do something. We're naked. We're ashamed. We're guilt. They're feeling all the effects of the experience of sin. And I'm not going to go into detail into this, but I think that you know what's going on here. I sure hope that you do. They are feeling all the things that sin burdens people down with when it's left unconfessed. And they begin to feel the emptiness and the guilt and the shame and the separation from God. Knowing that the penalty of their sin, they knew what the penalty of that sin was. The day that you eat, the day that you disobey, the day that you do what I said not to do, you're going to die. Now that's the sentence. And the sentence is getting ready to be exacted, executed. And they knew that they had done wrong. They were not sorry that they did wrong. They were sorry that there were consequences of what they did. So, well, how do you know that? You don't know it all. Well, let's just see what the Bible says. I don't, but I have a book that does. And can I tell you that man is still that way? Until a man gets to the place, until God helps a man out, man will never realize what his condition is. God is prepping them. God is grooming them. He is bringing them to a place to realize you have royally messed up. They didn't see it in themselves. They knew there was something wrong. They knew there was something different. They knew how they felt. They knew the experience that they had never experienced before. They were having feelings like they had never felt before. They were doing things and they felt the need to do things that they had never felt the need to do before. And then God shows up, and as God always does, and don't, God help me, God help you, God help us, never to forget this, God confronts sin. Amen. God confronts sin. And I believe they knew this was coming. Because the Bible says, notice if you would, it says when they knew that they, in verse number 7, when they knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves aprons. And the word apron, and I don't want to be inappropriate here, it simply just means a loincloth. I mean, they had so little to cover themselves, and they took these leaves, the scripture says in verse number 7, they sewed fig leaves. They said, well, was Eve a seamstress? You know, it appears that they just took some big leaves and they just kind of made holes and put vines through them and put just a small covering over themselves. They thought that was okay. But really deep down, you know, sometimes man can do something and think it's okay. Now I want you to notice what happens here. Look if you would again. In verse number 7 it says they knew they were naked. So what did they do? They covered themselves. They covered themselves. Man's always doing this, all right? When man does wrong and man realizes he's been exposed, one of the very first things he tries to do is cover himself. Now I don't mean with a loincloth. I mean cover his actions, cover his sin, cover his wrongdoing. You know, I want to cover this up. And so that's what they did. And then the Bible says in verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What was that like? Could you imagine what that was like? How did they hear that? Did they hear, you know, the steps of God? You know, many people believe, and I don't want to get into this, that this is a Christophany, that the voice of God is the same as the Word of God, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and they believe this is an Old Testament Christophany or a theophany, and that God came in a physical form. I'm apt to believe that myself because of the way the things are implied here, but I don't know that it really matters other than the fact that God came to them, and they heard God coming. And the Bible says not only did they hear God coming, but they heard God calling, because it says, if you'll notice, they heard God walking in verse number 8 in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Can you imagine? Did you just get what was said there? This place that was a beautiful paradise that God had given them, to be a blessing to them, to build relationship with them. It appears, it is implied here that God would come when it says, it didn't say in the cool of a day, it says in the cool of the day. It's almost like this was their daily devotional time. And God came to fellowship with them. And instead of going to God and saying, "No, it's good. We're glad you're here. And we've been longing for this personal, this intimate encounter." The scripture says now everything's changed. Can I tell you, sin will do that, brethren. God help us to understand. Sin does this to us. Sin helps us get an errant view of God, an inappropriate view of God, and what God is there for. God was not there to condemn, and God was not there to exact punishment at that moment. God was there to confront. God was there to show grace. God was there to bring healing, and God was there to bring help. But yet there's something about sin, there's something about the infection of sin, the experience of sin, that gives us this wrong view of God, and why God is coming to me, and why God is getting involved in my life, and why God is asking me these questions, and why God is trying to get me to a place where he can help me. That's exactly what was happening here. God was trying to get Adam and Eve to a position to where they would realize, you need help. You can't do it yourself. Those fig leaves are inadequate. The reason I know that they are, as Adam said in verse number 10, after God said in verse number 9, please look at it. Now remember, they had sewed fig leaves together in verse number 7. They hear God in verse number 8, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" What a question. God's not seeking information from Adam. Please don't. God's not seeking location from Adam. God knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. Amen? You with me? God ever done this with you? He's done it for me. He's done it for me. I'm glad God will show me where I'm at sometimes. God will say, hey, where are you? Where are you? But you know, I think deeper than that, I think what God is asking Adam is, Adam, where are we now? Where does this leave us now? Now that this has happened, where does this leave us? Adam, Eve, where does this leave us? Now that you have made an erroneous choice, now that you have chosen of your own volition, of your own will to do this, where does this leave us now? Doesn't sin do that? When God comes, we must ask ourselves this question. Where does this leave us? Where does this disobedience leave me now with my God, with my Maker, with my Savior, with, as we sang this morning, my friend? Where does this leave us? And I want you to notice what Adam said. But I want to get into this question so much, but I must move on. But I do want you to see this. He said in verse number 9, he said, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said in verse number 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Adam, didn't you sew some fig leaves together? How naked are you? See, Adam knew that this was not sufficient. He felt like it was until God came. And then he realized, this is not sufficient. Can I tell you, our excuses, our way of dealing with our shortcomings seem good to us until God shows up, right? Until God's word comes out. And it's just amazing to me how this works, how sin has so deadened our senses and how sin has so skewed our view of God and what God wants to do for us. And so here was a man who said, you know what, I've messed up. Let me cover this up. And there, done. And then God shows up and he says, not done. Not done. You get in the presence of God and he said, God, I'm naked. And God says, yeah, I know you are. As a matter of fact, God asked him a little later, he said, who told you you was naked? Now that's an interesting question in itself. So let's back up now and just take a short, brief look at what happens here. You can read this, and if you're not careful, just read right over it, and I tell you, I miss a ton of things that God wants us to know about how this all got started. And so the scripture says, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, let me just say this. God didn't have to do that. God could have just showed up, bam! Judgment exacted. I told you what would happen. It happened. But I sure am glad that God doesn't deal with us that way. I sure am glad. I am so thankful. I was thinking this past week. My goodness. Where would we be? I know where we'd all be if God dealt with us that way. And I sure am glad that God doesn't deal with us that way. God is setting a precedent right here. God wanted Adam and Eve to know, you don't have to run from me. I want you to run to me. When you do things that you shouldn't do, you don't have to run from God. Run to him. Run to him. Adam and Eve should have been running to him, but they're running from him. Adam and Eve should have said, oh, we've messed up. God, we've messed up. This is what happened. The serpent came and just told him the story and said, God, this is what happened. But you see it over and over and over again in the Bible and in our own lives and experiences, brethren. Sin, it just skews our view. It twists our thinking. And we just say, oh, my goodness, God's going to really come down on me. God's going to judge me hard. And God's going to exact judgment. And God's going to pass sentence. And yes, God does judge sin. But I'm thankful that God is a God of mercy and grace. And he will bring us to a place of confession, a place of repentance, a place to where we can make things right with him. Aren't you thankful to God for that? God didn't have to do it that way, brethren. God didn't have to do it that way, but God did do it that way. And I'm so thankful that he did. I'm so grateful that he still does. So grateful. Don't ever get over that. Don't you ever get over the fact that God has again and again and again showed you mercy and grace. Over and over. Where sin did abound, thank God, grace did much more abound. It's a biblical doctrine. It's etched in stone, brethren. This is the character of God. The grace of God. And so he went and he called and he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam answered. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And he said, I was afraid. I was afraid. This lets me know that Adam didn't sin against knowledge. He didn't forget God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't forget that. He knew. That's why he was afraid. He said, because I was naked and I hid myself. I'm not going to go into all the ways that men tried to hide themselves. You know, you see how men try to hide themselves from God today. They hide behind religion. They hide behind, I don't believe in God. They hide in all of these things they're trying to hide from God. Where are you going to go to hide from God? Here's a man that sinned so put in a stupor that he tried to hide from the God who created the garden and put him in it. He tried to hide in the garden that God gave him. I mean, you know, Isn't that what sin does to us, brethren? It is. Don't you ever underestimate how sin can warp your mind and warp your thinking. Sin is so heinous, so dark, so wicked, that when it speaks of the young man that went down into the far country, it says that he came to himself. I mean, it's like an insanity. It's like, what in the world? How did I get this far away from my father? How did I go this low? That's what sin will do, brethren. In all of our lives, there's none of us exempt from. You say, I have you to know, preacher, I'm sitting in a Bible-believing church this morning. We're not exempt from what sin can do in our lives. Sin is no respecter of persons. Don't you ever think that you couldn't end up in places that you don't want to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Satan has his way about it, you will. But I'm glad that God is our helper. And so he went to Adam and he summonsed him. And he summonsed him. And it's almost as if he summonsed him like a court would when you've broken the law and it says, hey, listen, it's time now for you to answer this summons. I've come to arrest you. You broke the law. Don't you think you can break God's law and get by? Please hear me this morning now. Please, 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 please hear me this morning. You have never sinned and gotten by. You say, well, I think I did, preacher. The word there is think, and it's wrong. You have never sinned and gotten by. I have never sinned and gotten by. No sin has ever gone unseen. No sin has ever gone unrecognized, and no sin has ever gone unpunished. Either you will pay the price of your sin, or you will confess it, and Jesus will pay the price of your sin. But all sin must be dealt with. All sin. And so the scripture says here that God went to Adam and he said, what have you done? He said, tell me, Adam. I wonder if God has come to someone this morning and just laid something on your heart. God does this now and brought something to your mind. You say, oh my goodness. I've sinned against the Lord. I'm living in unconfessed sin. And God is calling Adam. He's calling your name. Dale. Where has this sin left us? How has this sin affected us? I noticed you wasn't ready for our fellowship today. I noticed when I came in the cool of the day that I got a different response than before. What's going on, Dale? Where does this leave us? And I say, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then God says, look at verse 11, who told thee that thou wast naked? Adam, who told you? It's just you and Eve. Eve, who told you? Couldn't have been your neighbors. You don't have any. Who told you you done wrong? Aren't you glad God has given us conscience? I'm so glad God smites me in my conscience. It doesn't feel good, but it's good for me. I'm glad God lets me know when I get off track. Aren't you glad for that? You say, I don't know if I am or not. Oh, listen, you're missing the point. I am so grateful that God lets me know when I do wrong. Adam knew. God knew the answer too. Just like God knew where Adam was, God knew who told Adam he was naked. And the scripture says, if you'll notice here, the scripture says, who told thee that thou wast naked? Now, what is God doing? Stay with me now. What is God doing here? Adam, where does this leave us? God, I'm sorry. I ran, but I should have run to you, and I ran from you. What is God doing? He's giving him space for repentance. See, this is grace. Please don't miss this. This is grace. Instead of God coming and exacting immediate judgment, he gives space for repentance. And he begins to talk with Adam, as in times past. And he said to Adam, he said, where are you? Where does this leave us? And then he leaves the window open instead of Adam saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I sinned against you. I'm sorry. I did what you said not to do. God, I fall on your mercy. I fall on your grace. God, please help me. I've messed up. And here's me and my wife. God, our home's in a mess. We just messed everything up, God. We need you to help us. We're sorry. That's not what Adam did at all. He evaded the question. He danced around it. Well, I ran because I was naked. Now, that's why I ran. I didn't run because I did anything wrong. I run because I wasn't dressed appropriately, and I just hadn't made proper preparation. You see how he's evading the question, the issue. He God asked him, you know, where are you? What's this doing with us? And saying, God, it's got me in a bad way here. I've sinned and I've done what you said not to do, and I'm going to ask you to please have mercy on me. Instead of coming clean with God, he just offers up all this hogwash. You say, what's that? Well, down south it means just some other things, baloney. Just a bunch of excuses. Just a bunch of excuses. And I tell you, mankind's full of excuses, and I'm one of them. I'm one of us. Amen. It seems like that we just offer God all these excuses, and we think that it's okay. And so God, instead of saying, Adam, he said, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to tell you what you've done. Step two. Who told you you was naked? Leaving the door open. Leaving the door open. You see how gracious God is? God's gracious, brethren. If you can't see the grace of God in this, you're missing it. God is saying, you know, Adam, what have you done? And Adam just danced around it, wouldn't confess it. You know, kind of like me and you sometimes. And then God said, well, now, who told you this? How did you come to that realization? What made you think that? God's asked me that question. What made you think like that? And instead of just saying, God, it's me, I've sinned, I've disobeyed, I'm about as sorry as they come, then, you know, God just pretty much had to tell me, now this is what you've done. Look what he said there. Who told thee that thou was naked? And Adam wouldn't come clean. He said, hast thou eaten of the tree? Did you do what I... God is still giving him space for repentance. He didn't tell him he'd done it. He asked him. Amen. Look at it again. I think it's verse 11, the last part of it. He said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? He didn't say, you did it, and now it's time to fess up. He said, he's still leading him on. He's still bringing him to a place. Adam, come on. Come on. What have you done? Have you eaten of that tree? You see how gracious God is, how patient God is with us. If you can't see the grace and patience of God in this, it's because you don't want to. Because it's there, isn't it, brethren? It's there. And then the man said, see if this sounds like he's sorry that he done it, and he's weeping and said, oh, God, I messed up, God. God, I messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. God, I'm sorry. Adam's still not ready. Did you eat of that tree that I commanded thee not, that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Yeah, I did it. I did it. But it's her fault. Well, actually, it's your fault. I did it. I did it. You know, God's just this terrible God, and I'm not going to have time to develop this thought, but I'm telling you right now, brethren, this is why men get in this condition, and it can happen to Christian people, to where they get mad at God, and you know, God put me in this situation that there was no way out, and here I am, my family's going to pot, and here I am, broke, here I am, broken, here I am, in a fix. You gave that woman to me. You put me to sleep. You gave her to me. And now, you know, here we are, and we're in this mess, and it's her, it's you. No, Adam, it's you. When I made you with a choice. I made you with a free will. And you did it. Do you see that? You say, well, he confessed. You think he was sorry? I don't think he was sorry at all.
I think he's just saying, God, I did it. I did it. All right, I did it. Right? I mean, you know, Adam, where are you? Well, you know, where does this leave us? Who told you that thou was naked? Have you eaten of that tree? All right, I did it. You see that? I hope you see it. Because that's exactly what happens here. You say, I want to say this and then I'll prove this morning. I want you to watch what God does. Now, Eve does the same thing. She just followed, well, a little too late to follow the lead of her husband now, but she is doing it. She says in verse number 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? He's given her space for repentance, space for confession. She said, well, it's that serpent. He beguiled me. I'm a victim. I did it, but I'm a victim. Adam and Eve both. Boy, are we living in this world right here today or what? All right, I did it, but it's not my fault. Well, if you did it, it was. Amen. You're accountable for your own actions. Well, I was drunk. Well, you're accountable for being drunk in case you were drugged. But we live in a society, in a world that has developed a victim's mentality. We will not come clean. We will not be honest with ourselves and with God and with others. It just seems like that everything that we do that is not pleasing to God or that is proper and even in our own conscience and it's not right and it doesn't line up with God's law, we have someone to blame for it. Isn't that right, brethren? Have you noticed that? We're living in that day. I think we need some folks just to just step up and be accountable. Be accountable for yourself. Young folks, learn what it is early to be accountable. Think your decisions through, realizing that tagged to every choice is a consequence. And if you're going to make the choice, be prepared for the consequence that is tagged to it. Quit blaming other people. That's for all of us. So, well, now, what's God going to do? Well, he sentences them. But in that sentence, and this is what I want to show you, that this point I said that I was showing then close, I don't have time to develop it. If you'll notice verse 15 and 16 of chapter 3, God says, here's what we're going to do. Now, you're talking about amazing grace. This is amazing grace. He said, well, I got to pass sentence because I'm holy and I'm just. And so he begins to pass sentence on the serpent, on the woman. And he says to the serpent in verse number 15, he said, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, I want you to see quickly what God does for them. Quickly. This is what he does. He said, I'm going to show mercy and grace. We're going to fix this. He said, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to understand that I'm going to do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Now, this is the principle of first mention. This is called the first promise of the gospel right here. He said, I'm going to put enmity between the woman's seed and your seed. You mean Eve's going to have children? I thought she was going to die. They thought they were going to die. God said, no, I'm going to exercise mercy. And I want you to notice what Adam does. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. You say, what does Eve mean? It means life, the mother of all living. Adam exercised a little faith there, didn't he? He said, God's going to keep his promise. And he did. He did. God kept his promise. And she brought forth children. God had said that they were going to be fruitful and multiply. Didn't he say that? He did. And so I don't want you to forget what God done here. He did bring forth. But the woman's seed is the Savior, the virgin birth. And then he lays out some things. If you look at verse 21, it says, Adam also and his wife did unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And that's where we'll pick up. God said, I'm going to do something for you. Now, you've done something for yourself. insufficient. I'm going to do something for you. Now, what did God do for Adam and Eve? He clothed them with the skins of someone that had nothing to do, or something that had nothing to do with their sin. That's the innocent dying for the guilty. And that's the first mention of this, and it finds its fruition in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And I hope that if you're here this morning and you're like Adam and you're running from God, you're like Eve and you're just making excuses and saying, well, you know, it's this, the devil made me do it. The devil hadn't made you do anything. The devil can tempt you to do something, but the devil can't make you do anything. Anything we do by choice. Please understand that. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to stand.